It's deployment day for the 320 sailors aboard the guided missile destroyer USS Decatur. It's a billion-dollar warship loaded with Tomahawk missiles and guns. And up in the pilot house is something you'd never have seen when the Navy ordered the ship back in the early 90s. Three women leading the way.
Forward deck made up. Got it.
Aft is already made up, right?
Yeah. Lieutenant Laura Baumgartner is the officer of the deck. Together with Lieutenant Anna Douglas, they're running the checklist to get underway. And they're both reporting to Commander Mary Katie Hayes, the ship's executive officer. One of the lieutenants coaches the sailors handling the rudder and engine controls.
Slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
In case you missed that, she said slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Good advice for driving the ship, and also not a bad way of looking at how women have made strides in the surface Navy. Women weren't allowed to serve on a warship like Decatur until 1994. To Commander Hayes, who was commissioned in 99, all of this is routine.
How's the morning going so far?
It's been busy, but it's been awesome. Getting the ship underway for deployment, this is what we've been training to do.
This destroyer, with a team of women taking the lead, that's a very different Navy than retired Captain Bobby Scully joined in 1981.
It's just incredible the differences that women were allowed to do from the time I came in the Navy in 1981 until I retired in 2005.
In 81, women were only allowed on support ships. By 1983, the Navy began to open up more programs, and Scully became one of the first women to graduate from the rigorous deep-sea dive school. Nowadays, Scully hears critics say that units that include women can't fight as effectively as all-male ones. She says that's the same kind of claim women in her generation proved wrong.
I just have to chuckle that these arguments didn't hold any water back then, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to hold any argument today.
Back on the USS Decatur, Garrett Miller is the commanding officer for this deployment. And soon after the ship gets back to San Diego, he'll turn over the captain's chair to Mary Katie Hayes. Both Miller and Hayes came to the ship as second in command, and then in Navy terms, fleeted up to be the commanding officer.
I think she's going to be a phenomenal captain. When you've got two commanders on the same ship that are working towards the same goal, you know, there's nothing you can't do.
One person who's seen Decatur change through the years is Joan Shalikashvili, whose late husband was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the mid-1990s. She's the ship's sponsor, meaning she's the one who broke the bottle of champagne over the bow when Decatur was christened and has followed the ship closely ever since.
This will be our third female commander, and I don't even think twice about it. I think they don't think twice about it now. I know they did years ago.
Commander Hayes didn't think twice about it either. She didn't start out wanting to command a destroyer, but instead, from day one of her career, she found herself...
looking at the job that my bosses did and asking myself, you know, do you think you're capable of that job? Do you think you'd like to do that job? And the answer has been yes.
And for more and more service members just starting out these days, they'll have strong female role models like Commander Hayes to look up to. Author Gail Samaklamon, who studied the issue of women in combat, says that's important.
I think both men and women can be incredible mentors and leaders. But certainly when somebody looks like you, it's one step closer to imagining yourself in that role.
With the last combat exclusions lifted, those first female infantry officers are blazing a new trail for women in the Army and Marine Corps. Just as the women of Bobby Scully's generation made it possible for officers like Mary Katie Hayes to take combat command in the Navy.
One Alpha 2 Bravo, GTN's online, standing by to transfer to the rest of the program.
I'm John Ismay reporting.